the Wildlife Observer Network.
This episode is brought to you by Rad Dudes Who Love Nature.
I typically shoot animals, but with my camera. So when I told them I was going to go hunting, they, you know, of course had questions.
You are listening to Urban Wildlife Podcast.
Hi, podcast listeners. We've got another episode for you on the theme of urban hunting. In particular, a focus on the experience of one new urban hunter in Philadelphia. Troy Bynum is a Philly naturalist who I know through our local Philly nature circles. He is also a great wildlife photographer, and I've been enjoying his work for years on Facebook and on Instagram. On Instagram, you can follow him at TB Wildlife Photography. I was scrolling through Facebook recently, and I saw that Troy had posted a picture of himself with a doe that he had just killed as part of a new hunter program at the John Hines National Wildlife Refuge, which, for those unfamiliar with it, straddles Philadelphia and Delaware County near the Philadelphia International Airport and is a mix of wetlands and forests and has a big tidal creek running through the middle. There's a lot that our podcast listeners might find interesting about an urban naturalist hunting deer in an urban area. For one, a lot of you are like Troy and spend a lot of time observing and taking pictures of wild animals. And you might think about why or why not you'd hunt or whether you agree or disagree with it. You might also think about hunting in an urban area, which isn't where you usually think of hunting happening. We talk about questions like that in the interview. In my intro right now, though, I'd like to focus on information about hunting and racial equity in particular as a dimension of Troy's experience and experience of hunters like him. Now, if you've got friends who hunt in the fall, you probably also see lots of pictures of them with the deer they have bagged, just like Troy's picture. But Troy is black, which probably makes the picture unlike all those other ones that your friends take. Hunting is really one of the whitest activities there is in America. Every few years, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service publishes a survey of hunting, fishing, and other wildlife observation activity, and the most recent one in 2016 found that 97% of hunters are white. The black and Asian categories didn't even get enough responses on the survey to be reliably estimated statistically. And apart from the racial identity question, I should note that about 3.5% of hunters are Hispanic, about 90% identify as men. Obviously, this does not reflect our country's diversity, and there's a lot of reasons we can think of for this. We've got a long legacy of systemic racism that afflicts our society in lots of ways, and hunting, you know, you wouldn't expect it to be any different than any other way. Specifically, though, part of this racial imbalance has to do with exclusion from hunting spaces, particularly rural ones. It has to do with hunting being primarily a pastime for rural communities in general. And these days, black and other communities of color are more concentrated in our urban areas. It has to do with existing hunters tending to recruit people from their own communities, their kids, their neighbors, their work colleagues, and all this lends a homogenizing inertia to the community's demographics. And when you talk to people working to diversify hunting, you also hear about how the whiteness of hunting and hunting in media, in culture, sends a message that people of color aren't welcome or safe out there, particularly hanging out in the middle of nowhere with a lot of white guys with guns. I'd like to highlight some efforts to diversify hunting, in particular a group called Hunters of Color, which is relatively new and is out of Oregon. In Philadelphia, the John Hines National Wildlife Refuge has had a mentored hunting program for a few years now, and they have been targeting their outreach to communities that have been excluded from hunting and really from outdoor activities in general. That's the program that Troy took part in. I interviewed him for an article in our local Grid magazine, and it should be out in the January issue. And we did our interview while going for a walk in a park in South Philadelphia called FDR Park. The audio reflects that I was interviewing him for the print article and decided to use it after the fact, after checking with Troy, of course, for the podcast. So please excuse the quality. We didn't use microphones and set it up in the way to get the best audio. I've edited this a bit, particularly since we tended to get distracted by birds around us as we walked. And yeah, I hope you enjoy it. Of course, if you want to get in touch with us, you can at urbanwildlifecast@gmail.com or on Twitter at @urbwildlifecast or on our Facebook page. Of course, please be in touch with your podcast ideas. That's how we get a lot of our ideas, and we're always happy to entertain something and email back and forth and find a time we can talk. So why did you start hunting?
When I was growing up, I was always kind of against hunting.
Where'd you grow up, by the way?
In Philly. Grew up in Mount Airy.
Okay.
Grew up in a metropolitan city. I didn't really understand hunting. I wasn't really interested in when I was younger. As I got more interested in nature and learned about how deer populations affect ecosystems, I started to get a little bit more interested, and I wanted the opportunity to maybe go out and try to hunt. And found out last year that John Hines was doing this mentored archery deer hunt program. I signed up for it last year, and unfortunately, COVID messed up those plans.
Yep.
But I was able to go out this year, and I went on the second hunt for the first week of November. And on my second day at about 7:45 a.m., I was able to bag my first doe at 30 yards.
30 yards, okay. And I'll ask you a few questions that I find interesting, maybe won't include in the article. What do you guys use? Crossbows?
Yeah, we were using crossbows.
What kind of crossbow?
I cannot tell you what kind of crossbow it was.
All right. 30 yards, that's good.
Yeah. Yeah, they had the flag set out at, I think, 30 and 35 and then 40 yards. Anything after 40, they said don't take a shot.
Okay. And God, I do have lots of questions. I'll say I'm also a beginning hunter. Have not had luck yet like that. But I've frankly been nervous about shooting anything past 20.
Yeah. Yeah, I was told that my shot, well, I was able to drop her right there. So that's apparently what every hunter wants, especially for their first shot.
Well, yeah, you want the animal to run around suffering.
Yeah. Yeah, so I was able to drop her right there, and she expired within a few minutes.
Okay.
And it was
were you able to see where you hit, like?
Yeah, so I hit her right above her heart.
Okay.
Cool. She dropped right there.
Sliced through a whole bunch of really important arteries.
Yes. And I learned that that's also important, that there's such thing as ethical hunting, where they teach you about the deer's biology, and there is only certain spots where you are quote-unquote allowed to shoot.
Yep.
Because you want to make sure that you hit the deer in a vital organ so that it expires quickly and so that it doesn't suffer.
Right.
But the thing is, while we were going through that program, they were stressing how important it was to make sure that you're comfortable with, you know, hitting the heart and lungs. And even while I was out there with my mentor, he was also stressing.
See the wax ends there.
He was also stressing the importance of making sure that the deer was either broadside or quartering away.
Yep.
So that you could get a good shot. And luckily she was broadside when I got my shot.
I do love cedar wax wings.
Yeah.
Well, three of them are. And it's perfect during a red cedar. We're stopping for a minute to look at cedar wax wings. One of my favorite urban birds. What happens next? So you have a dead deer, you're at the John Hines Wildlife Refuge. Did you take it to a processor, I guess?
Yes, so the Friends of Hines Refuge actually sponsors that archery deer hunt, and they pay for just basic processing for anyone that tags a deer. And they do that to help with the deer population. You know, most places they do a calling of some sort to manage their deer population. But Hines, they open it up to the residents of Philadelphia who may not have the opportunity to hunt, to come on the refuge and hunt for a couple days, which was wonderful.
I think there's some white-throated sparrow, but
we had them all over.
When do you get the meat back?
Yep, so after we got back to the maintenance area, we field dressed it right there.
Right.
Got it back to the maintenance area, weighed it and everything, and then they
How
drove it.
How much did yours weigh?
75 pounds after field dressing.
Okay, so smallish stuff.
Yeah. And then they took it to the processor. I think it was Stuff It Taxidermy.
Okay.
Chester.
And Aston. Aston.
Sorry. Oh, Aston, okay.
I've called them, so I
know. Oh, really? Yeah. Yep, so...
If I happened to get lucky, I was going to take them there.
Really, yeah. So. Yeah, they were great people. Dropped it off with them. They took care of everything. I even got some summer sausage and jerky that should be coming in the next couple weeks.
Okay.
But yeah, I got, you know, maybe 50, 45 pounds of venison.
Okay.
And I've made some venison meatballs with it that I shared with some of my friends and family, and they loved it. Had some deer steak already that was pretty good. So.
Okay.
My first time having venison, but it's been pretty good.
Good. And what did your friends and family think of it? Like, you tell your mom, hey, I'm going to go deer hunting.
A lot of people thought it was strange for me to go hunting, being as though I am very big into wildlife photography. So
yeah.
I typically shoot animals, but with my camera. So when I told them I was going to go hunting, they, you know, of course had questions about why would you want to go hunting? How could you do such a thing? And so on and so forth.
Yeah.
And when I explained to them, you know, how deer numbers, if they do go unchecked, it could potentially, you know, damage the environment of that ecosystem, and there may not be any more deer or birds or anything that'll be left. So it's important to, you know, manage that population, because it can only, the environment can only handle so many deer.
Yep. All right. And did you, I mean, have the, this is one of the things I've been curious about is, as a black person, well, I say this also as someone who's Jewish, and we don't hunt. So like, so I actually haven't even told my parents that I was sort of like going to be like, well, maybe I'll find some way not to tell them later or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. But you know, how has it been with that respect, I guess?
So I think being in Pennsylvania definitely helped with that, because Pennsylvania is such a big hunting state. It's very normal for anyone you bump into to be a hunter.
You would say that in Philadelphia? I would say that's true outside of Philadelphia.
Even in Philly, I've still met a fair amount of people that enjoy hunting. They may go out to Lancaster or you know, more central Pennsylvania to do their hunting.
Yeah.
But even in Philadelphia, I've still met a lot of people that are into hunting. And when I joined the program at Hines, there was actually a fair number of other black men that were also hunting.
Neat.
Some of them, you know, previously hunted. A few of them, it was their first time hunting. But it was nice to join the program and see other people and other faces that looked like mine that were out there. So, you know, I didn't really feel out of place. I felt very welcome there.
Awesome. So when you sign up, I'm guessing you got a hunting license. You get a doe tag, I'm guessing, because you shot a doe.
Mm-hmm.
You still got your buck tag?
Yep, so I have a mentored deer tag, which means I have to hunt with a licensed hunter.
Oh.
And with that, it does come with a buck tag, and then Hines, they made sure that everyone got doe tags. So they went ahead and purchased those doe tags for us, and everybody had one doe tag, and then you had a buck tag with your mentored license.
So. Is there a way for you to go hunt for a buck?
Yeah, so I actually have a few, like I said, I have a few friends that are into hunting. And now that I've showed them that I'm really interested in it, and I actually bagged my first doe. You know, since I still have a buck tag and the season's still going, I may have another opportunity to go out with one of them, you know, if they have some equipment that I could use.
So you're thinking going out like beyond Philadelphia or staying in the Philly area?
I would love to go out beyond Philadelphia, yeah. Okay. I know I've birded outside of Philly, you know, in Lancaster County, out in Middle Creek, and I know they do hunts out in all of those areas, and every time I've been out in central PA, I've seen deer all over the place.
You have a daughter. What did she say?
That was a fox sparrow.
Ah.
First of the year for me.
There we go.
My daughter, she's 7, and she was surprisingly supportive of me going hunting. She knows that her dad has a bunch of different hobbies, and I've explained to her.
She's used to being you being weird.
Yeah, so I've explained to her, you know, the importance of it.
So those red sparrows are fox sparrows?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
And surprisingly, you know, when I told her I bagged a deer, she wasn't too upset. And actually, when I made the venison meatballs, she actually tried them and she enjoyed it.
Okay, cool.
So when I get my jerky back, she'll try that as well, and we'll see if she likes that. But you know, she didn't stop talking to me, so that's good.
Did anybody stop talking to you?
Nope, not yet.
Okay.
I
Mount Airy, you never know.
Yeah, I shared some of my venison with my neighbors and friends, so hopefully that was enough to win them over.
All right. You think this is something you'll do next year?
Oh, definitely, yes. I want to do the program again next year. And I spoke to Lamar Gore, who is the manager at Heinz. I told him that I want to be a part of the program and maybe serve as a mentor.
Oh, nice.
You know, after doing the program a couple years and getting more comfortable with hunting on my own.
Got it.
You know, I'd definitely love to serve as a mentor and give back to the community and, you know, encourage other kids that grew up in the area, especially Black kids that haven't had the chance to go hunting, that, you know, this is something that they can do and it's not, you know, weird or something that only, you know, white people would do. We can also go out and hunt and enjoy and learn how to fend for ourselves.
That I talked to one of my neighbors, you know, chat them up about it, or hunted, and it's something that, like, they'll say, oh yeah, my grandfather hunted, you know, and they'll have a story about, like, oh, your grandfather moved up from South Carolina or something and sort of had it as part of the rural hunting culture there, but lost it in Philadelphia. Do you have anybody in your family past who is a hunter that, like, is sort of part of the family lore?
Yeah, and funny that you mentioned that. I shared some venison with my great uncle, who's actually from down south. He's a big hunter, and he just recently stopped hunting, I think maybe 5 years ago.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, he's just getting older and he can't really move around as much. But yeah, he's someone that hunted, and then when I told him that I was going out, he was very excited that, you know, it was being passed along
to the younger generation.
So yeah, it there are people in my family that do hunt, but yeah, it's most of them are from down south.
There you go.
That's where you meet a lot of the hunters that are Black. They're from down south because it's more.
Oh yeah.
It's more of a cultural thing down there for everyone to be involved in hunting.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like just generally to be something that people in general lose when they become urbanized.
Yes, that's another good point. So. In the north, you have more of the bigger cities, and some of those populations, you know, Blacks might congregate more towards the urban cities. And around those urban cities, there's not many opportunities to go hunting.
No, it's one of the huge ironies of living in Philadelphia is that you have tons of deer and no way to hunt them.
Exactly. Yeah, I think there's tons
this
of
park
open spaces.
Is freaking full of deer.
Yeah, I mean, I see a bunch at Wissahickon Valley Park when I'm there.
Yeah.
I even see a bunch at Dixon Meadow where I know that there's coyotes, and there's still a great number of deer there.
Yeah,
the coyotes, they can't manage them.
Well, the coyotes can take a few fawns, but that's about all they do. And part of what I'm keeping an eye out for is, I was about to say, keeping an eye out for trails, and there's one right there. So it's, yeah, when you walk down here, you see deer trail everywhere. Once you get under the highway over there, I don't know if we're going to get that far today, you can see plenty of tracks through the muddy sections. So I always ask this at the end. Anything that, like, you're like, man, I should have said that, or you should have asked me this, like, last thing you'd want to mention?
I guess just with closing, I would just like to say that I know that hunting does have a bad stigma, especially in the Black community. I know a lot of people don't even really consider hunting as a recreational activity for them to do, especially with the family, or as a family. So I would just encourage everyone, you know, whether you're Black, white, Asian, Hispanic, I'd encourage you to get out and try hunting if you're interested in it, because the opportunities are out there. And I feel like it's a great recreational sport, and I want to try it someday with my daughter because she showed some interest. So I know that it'd be great to, you know, spend some quality time out there in the woods with your child. Whether you bag something or not, it's good to spend that time. So while we were out there hunting, unfortunately, we weren't able to use tree stands. We had to use birding blinds, so we were on the ground hunting. But while I was out there, one of the things that I enjoyed the most was we got out there before the sun rose. So we were out there maybe about 5:45, 6 o'clock. We were seated in our blinds. And it was just very fun to just watch first the birds start chirping, and then you hear them moving around. And then there were a couple times that I had foxes kind of walk back and forth in front of me. Then the squirrels come, and then, you know, it's just cool to watch the forest wake up and watch all the animals kind of come through and, you know, start eating and getting some water and then moving on for the day.
Awesome. Thank you. Hope you enjoyed our conversation with Troy. If you want to get in touch with us again, you can email us at urbanwildlifecast@gmail.com. You can tweet at us at urbwildlifecast. You can find us on Facebook. Please be in touch.